Well, I appreciate the time of prayer and being able to gather together. Glad we serve a God that can hear and answer. And has demonstrated to us in many times and in many ways that He can. I thought about, while we were praying, I thought about that record in 1 Kings when Elijah and the prophets of Baal go up to the mountain. The Bible said that they cried, the prophets of Baal did, from morning till the time of the evening sacrifice. Elijah mocked them, said, "You need to cry louder. Maybe he's asleep or in a journey." The Bible said that they continued to cry, but there was none that answered, neither any that regarded. Their God could not hear, and even if He could hear, He could not answer. But the Bible said that Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord. Some 63 words, I think, are recorded in the chapter there that he prays. And one thing that he does pray is, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me." And God heard and answered by fire. I'm glad tonight we serve a God that can hear us. Not only can He hear us, but He can answer us and do what we cannot do for ourselves. The Scripture is still true that He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to that power that worketh in us. And if He can save our ever-living soul, if He can transform us, translate us out of the kingdom of darkness, if He can bring us off the broad way that leads to destruction, if He can make a new creature out of us, then He can take care of all our needs between here and home. And I'm grateful for that. Seems like we don't have a lot of trouble trusting God with our soul, but we have trouble trusting Him with all the stuff and the storms that come between here and home. But I'm glad if the Lord can take care of my soul, He can take care of my stuff and take care of my storms. And I'm grateful and thankful to know that tonight. Thank the Lord that He can. And anybody got anything on your heart you need to say tonight? All right. If not, if you have a copy of the Scripture, I'll be in the Gospel of John, chapter number 6. Gospel of John, chapter number 6. I'm going to read the first 14 verses. I realize that we were in this same Scripture not too many services ago, maybe Sunday before last. But the Lord has drawn my heart back to here again. And I know that just a few services ago, we focused in on that part of the Scripture where Jesus commands that the fragments be gathered up. And tried our best by the help of God to preach on picking up the pieces. But I got another part of this record in my heart the Lord's been speaking to my heart about, and I want to try to give it to you tonight if the Lord will permit us and help us tonight. The Gospel of John chapter 6, let's stand for just a minute if you're able and willing to do so out of reverence and honor the reading of the Word of God, beginning in verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" This He said to prove him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, but every one of them may take a little." One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, "There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves, and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, So the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I know and understand that this is extremely familiar scripture, a very familiar record. We know, and it was said probably in the introduction when we preached from this scripture not long ago, that this miracle is recorded in all 4 of the Gospels. Some of the details now, we have to be very careful about how we say this, how we approach this. It's not that any of the Gospel records contradict each other. They do not. But there are details surrounding the events of this miracle. All of them record the miracle. All of them have the thrust of what Christ did this day for this multitude. But because they are individual men with individual perspectives, and God is working through these individuals, and God knew that they would notice things and pick up on details that the others would not, then there are certain details that are recorded among the Gospels that some of the others do not make mention of. We made mention of the fact that John is the one that made the record that it was the command of Christ to gather up the fragments that remain. But I'm interested tonight in the fact that John also is the only one of the writers of the Gospels that makes mention about the lad. And I'm interested tonight in this lad. John says that Andrew says there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Now, the other Gospels will record about there being 5 loaves and 2 fishes. One of the Gospels will say, Jesus asked them, what have you? And they would respond, we have here 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But none of the others, Matthew, Mark, nor Luke, say anything about this lad. I'm interested in this lad. And what I'm interested in about him is that the Bible, there's nothing in here by coincidence. It was the will of God, I believe, and you'll not convince me any otherwise, that it was not a grown man, but it was a lad. The word lad is used 2 times, or the word that's translated lad is used 2 times in your Bible, and only 1 time is the word lad translated. The other time, the word child is translated. So we don't use the word lad very much in our language. So we would look at this lad and say that there's a little boy here that has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But it was not a man. It was a little boy. Now you say, what does that have to do with anything? Well, I want you to hear what Matthew has to say about the crowd that is at the miracle that day. The Bible said, and they that had eaten, Matthew chapter 14 and verse 21, were about 5,000 men. Now every other gospel is going to record that. 5,000 men. We call it the feeding of the 5,000. But Matthew, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, is going to record 4 more words that none of the other Gospels make mention of. And Matthew's going to say, beside women and children. And so there's an accurate count for us made of how many men are there. But there is no accurate count of the women and the children. They counted the men, but they did not count the women and the children. Now you say, what's the significance in that? Well, I never thought much about any significance in it until the Holy Ghost got to speak into my heart and caused me to realize I didn't come to this conclusion on my own. The Lord had got to speak into my heart and caused me to realize that the very one that gave his lunch to the Lord was not even counted in the number that were present on that day. And the Lord got to speak into my heart, and I want to preach tonight on when it seems like you don't count. When it seems like you don't count. Now can you imagine? Of the whole record, and I understand that it's the Lord that does it. But had this, and I know that the Lord was big enough of a God that when He was in the wilderness fasting for 40 days, Satan tempted Him and said, command these stones to be made bread. And the reason that it was the temptation to the Lord is He had the power to command the stones to be made bread. And He wouldn't have had any trouble on the hillside that day of commanding some stones to be made bread. He made manna fall out of heaven like the hoar frost on the ground for the children of Israel. And He could have done that again in the wilderness. But He didn't choose to command the stones. And He didn't choose to make the manna fall. But He chose to take a little boy who everybody else said did not even count. And not only did the lad not count, but when they brought his lunch to the Lord, they said it don't count either, because they said, what are they among so many? I mean, here's the disciples. There are 12 of them. They are full-grown men with power and ability. Most of them are fishermen, which means they were strong men. They were not wimps. If they needed to go do something physically, they could have done it. But they take inventory of their ability. I don't know where the figure came from of that Philip said about 200 penny worth. I kind of imagine that there was a conversation that went on among the 12 to figure out how much money they had in the bag. And they found out that's what they had. And what they were saying is what we have. What we can muster up is not sufficient that they can all have just a little. That's why one of the writers of the Gospels says that the disciples come to the Lord and say, send the multitude away. Send them into town where they can buy themselves something to eat. And Jesus said, I need not send them away. You give them to eat. Well, they've already said we don't have enough. If we spend every dime we have, it would not be sufficient if they could all have just a little. And for some reason or another, Jesus said, what do you have? And that there's a lot of stuff that seems to go on between the lines that we can speculate about. And I'm not trying to add anything to the Scripture, but there must have been some kind of inventory. I don't know if He sent the 12 into the crowd. I don't know if this little boy was close enough or that when Jesus said, what do you have? He spoke up and said, I've got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes and I'll give them to the Lord. I don't know what the boy's intentions were. I don't know what he thought the Lord would do with it. But he did, in the mind of the disciples and in the mind of the multitude, he didn't even count. He didn't count with the multitude. He didn't count with the men of God. He didn't count with most there that day. But I'm glad he counted with the Master. And I'm telling you, when you don't count with a man, or when you don't count with a multitude, thank God you'll count with the Master. And he brought them 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And he said, I don't know what you need to do with them, but they're yours for the taking. I give it all. I'm telling you, so many times in our lives, we're hindered by our own thought process, thinking we don't have enough, thinking we don't have a lot, thinking we're just like Philip, we're just like Andrew, what are they among so many? I don't have sufficient to get the job done, and the Lord's not interested in how much you have, the Lord's not interested in what you are. He just wants you to give it all unto Him. And this little boy comes, and you can hear in Andrew's tone, the way the Scripture is written, Andrew doesn't say he's just like we are. He doesn't spare any detail. He does not paint a pretty picture. He could have said, we've got somebody here that's got some food. And that would have sounded much better. But Andrew didn't spare any details. And he didn't paint a pretty picture. Because in his mind, this little boy and his lunch did not count for what the need was in the hour. He said, we just got this little boy here, this lad. And he's got 5 barley loaves. But now we read the word loaf and we're so spoiled in Western culture that we think about a loaf of bread on the shelf at the grocery store. That wasn't what that was. It would have been about the size of a biscuit. And it was barley. He could have just said we got 5 loaves. But he said we got barley loaves. That's the common people's bread. That's poor people's bread. Lord, they've come all the way out of the city. I've followed you all the way out here on the other side of the lake. And you're going to feed them barley loaves, you're going to feed them common people's bread. And he said, we got these 5 barley loaves and we got 2 small fishes. Just little bitty things. I mean, common sense would tell us that however this boy got this food, I'm sure his mama probably packed it for him. It was enough for a little boy. Common sense tells me that a little boy will not eat enough to satisfy a man, let alone 5,000 men. And do you understand that there's a miracle inside a miracle inside a miracle in this story? Jesus said, make the men sit down and sit them down in companies of 50 and companies of 100. And he takes 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, and the miracle begins the minute it's put in the master's hand. But see, it's not about what I can do, and it's not about what you can do. It's not about my figment, and it ain't about your figment. But the minute we put all we got in the master's hand, that's the minute the multiplication and the miracle begins to take place. It was a miracle that Jesus even desired for these loaves to come to Him. It was a miracle Jesus even made the statement, bring them to me. And I'm going to tell you tonight, we can't thrust our chest out nor thumb our galluses, but it's a miracle that Jesus even wanted something like me. I don't know why He did. Love's the only explanation there is. He didn't see anything good in me. But somebody said He saw something good enough that He thought He could work with it. No, He didn't. He saw something wretched enough that He decided to dispatch His grace and dispatch His mercy, and He'd get glory out of us because we were so vile and so wretched. We were like the 5 barley loaves and the 2 small fishes and the little boy there, and it was so counted out. But thank God we got put in the hand of the Master. Miracle number 1, they got put in His hand. And when He got His hands on them, something changed. They began to be. Boy, I didn't have all this on my heart or mind, but it's a coming, and I'm glad. When they got in His hands, they became something they were not before His hands got on them. Before they were insufficient. Before they were common bread. Before they were little bitty fishes that were insignificant, that were insufficient, that could not do anything. But the very minute of them barley loaves, they didn't do anything for themselves. They couldn't. They're just barley loaves. And the fish couldn't do anything for themselves. They're just dead old little fishes. But the minute the Master's hands had got a hold of them, something happened to the barley loaves. And that's just like you and me. We're just a bunch of barley loaves and a bunch of dead little fishes. But the minute the Master's hand got on us, ain't that something? The Bible said He blessed it. Boy, I'm glad for the day that He blessed me. I understand we talk about, salvation. The day He put me in the family of God. That's when He got His hands on me. That's when He got His hands on you. And He went to blessing. And then when He blessed, He started breaking. And now we don't enjoy the breaking. But we got to be broken sometimes. But when He began to break, in the breaking, He performed a miracle. And I'm telling you, in your own life, in the breaking time, the Master's hand that can perform a miracle in your life. So miracle number 1 is they're in the Master's hand. I ain't got none of this wrote down. You can look up here if you want to. It don't matter to me. It's just a coming. I'm glad it's a coming tonight. Miracle number one, it's in the master's hand. He won't have anything to do with him in the first place. If he'd have been like Andrew, he'd have said, nah, can't use it. If he'd have been like Philip, he'd have said, I got 200 penny worth, which is better than what you got. I'll just take what I got and forget about what you have. If it had been most modern day church folks, he'd have took the 200 penny worth over the little boy any day. But I'm glad he don't think like we think. He don't count like we count. Oh, Andrew said all we got is 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. And he counted for the best of his. I'm not throwing off on Andrew. He just saw the only way that Andrew could see. And despite anything else, all Andrew could see was 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And I'm telling you, in these days, when folks look around and there ain't much to see in us, but just 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But the Lord saw beyond the 5 and the 2. And he saw 5,000 men being fed besides the women and the children. He said, bring them to me. Miracle 1 in his hand. Then he began to break. Then he gave to the disciples and he sent them to the multitude. Miracle after miracle was taking place, because if they fed 50, there was more fed to them 50 than there was to start with. And so I don't know how the ranks went, but I'm not great, but I'm pretty good at math. And if they sat down in companies of 50, then there's 100 companies of 50. That'd be 5,000 men besides the women and the children. Now, you say there's a contradiction in the scripture. And it says he set them down in 50s and some in companies of 100s. Well, I personally believe, and this is just my opinion, I'll make that very clear, I think the companies of 100 included women and children. I think the companies of 50 were just men, and the companies of 100s had women and children in them. But common sense would tell you, how to take 5 common barley loaves and 2 small fishes and feed 1 company of 50 was already a miracle enough, how to show who he was and what his hand could do. And I don't know how close, I mean the hillside had to be pretty big, but you put 5,000 on the hillside and they're going to have to be bumping shoulders. And I don't know how you operate, but I know me. And I want to say that the same flesh I deal with is the same flesh you deal with. And I don't know, I'm just reading between the lines because the Lord's putting it in my heart. I feel like He sent them out. That's what the Bible said. He distributed to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Old Thomas got his hands on some bread and his hands on some fish. Old Matthew got some bread and he got some fish. Old Bartholomew got some bread and he got some fish. Old Peter got some bread and he got some fish. And I kind of think about old Peter, you know, and I'm not being critical or mean, but he's the loud mouth. He's the one that always speaks up and sometimes out of turn. I think Peter might have got to the first 50 and got to about number 48. And hollered back, said, hey boys, I got just as much as I had to start with, and about fed the first 50. I think Bartholomew over yonder said, I fed my 50, I'm on to the next. I think Thomas said, I can't believe it, but I've done past 100, and the bread ain't run out yet. I'm telling you what, it's a miracle within a miracle, and the miracle kept working and kept happening. And I'm telling you, that's how salvation is, that when we're in the hand of the Master, it's not a one-time thing. It keeps working and working and working and working, and it will work till we get out of here. It'll work till the need's met. That's what he did, wasn't it? The Bible said they all ate and were filled. The need was met. Now, I don't know when, Brother Tim. I know one blessed day after a while, my need for grace is going to be met. My need for faith is going to be met. The old writer said our faith is going to end inside. Boy, I'm glad. Aren't you glad? The old writer wrote, when the clouds be rolled back like a scroll, and the trump shall resound, and we'll say, it's well with my soul.
I'm glad I don't have to wait till then, because I feel the Master's hand, and He's got a hold of my bread, and got a hold of my fish, and He's a squeezed it on me. I think you believe what you want to, don't make no difference to me. I think when the boy gave me his cold bread and cold fish, but I think when they got in the hand of the Master, they became hot bread and hot fish, but nobody wants to eat stale bread, and Jesus ain't in the business of feeding no stale bread, but I'm glad we might be stale. Have there been times I've got awful cold and got a little crusty on the outside? But I'm glad I felt His hand and reached down where I'm at and squashed me up real good and break the crust off and get me the mold going and make me warm bread again. As a matter of fact, that's what's going on in my heart right now. It's been a day or two since I felt like this. Can I feel like preaching? I'm telling you, it'll work. Thank God it'll work. You say, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know where I'm at. It don't matter. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, nor do I mean that without compassion. But it don't matter whether it counts up in your mind. It works in His. He don't add up on my calculator, and He don't add up on yours. But my calculator and yours ain't the one that matters. His calculator works every time. But see, His calculator could take 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes and feed 5,000 men besides women and children. The disciples' calculator couldn't buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them just a little. But Jesus' calculator could take 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes and give them enough that they can all be filled and then take up 12 baskets full. I don't know what that says to you. I'm going to tell you what it says to me, what the Lord's saying in my heart. Our God ain't no status quo God. He don't just meet the need. He goes over and above. That's the God I serve. He said it'd make all grace abound toward us. He didn't say, I'll fill you up a halfway and let you slosh out a little on Sunday. That's not the will of God. Even though that's the way we live our life most of the time, maybe a quarter of the way. And I'm just preaching that as this is coming to my heart. That's the reason why so many of us, and I'm saying us, me at the top of the heap, that's why so many of us have to go through storms and to shake our cup and to make it run over like it ought to run over, because we ain't got but about a quarter of the tank. But that ain't the way God designed it. He can fill it to the brim and make them run over. Like the old writer said, we can drink from our saucer because our cup's overflowed. But David said, He anointed my head with oil and my cup run over. And that's the will of God and can be the design, the reality of the people of God, even in these days we're living in. Amen. You say, what I'm going through, it don't look logically like I'll ever come through it on the other side. Well, logical failure. Why don't you try the Lord? There's a whole lot of people use their logic and come up short a whole lot of times, but they didn't calculate in the Lord. See, here's the reality, and I think I'm done tonight, maybe. They didn't count the lad. They didn't count his lunch. But if you want to know the reality of the story, the disciples didn't even count the Lord. Here's the man they've walked with, been persuaded He is the Christ, the Son of God, have watched Him raise the dead and give sight back to the blind and raise the lame up to walk and have power over the demon spirits. And they are come to this place and they don't think He can take 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes and meet the need of the multitude. You know why? Because they didn't count on the Lord. They're too busy with their figures wrapped up in the lad and the lunch. And they miscalculated the Lord. How many times have we come in? I'm saying we. I'm preaching myself. First and foremost of all, I want you to know that. How many times have we come in the house of God and we're so caught up in the lad and the lunch that we forgot about the Lord? Now, I'm not saying we forgot He existed or we forgot that He was God. We just miscounted that He was able to do what we cannot do. We're so focused on our inability, and we are unable. We are within ourselves. The Bible said we're not to think that we're sufficient of any way in ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God.
Right.
We get so caught up in us. We're the lad, and we're the lunch. And we're so caught up, and I'm not talking about, now I understand there are times about selfishness. That's not what I'm preaching on tonight. I'm talking about we just get in a way, get in a rut, have our problems, have our burdens. Like we tried to preach on Sunday night, all them sparks flying up there. And we're so wrapped up in the lad and the lunch that we forget about the Lord.
That's right.
I think it's recorded in the Scripture. Jesus says, bring them to me. And if they'd have been where they ought to been and been doing what they ought to been doing and kept their focus on what it ought to been on, they'd have been standing back and saying, what's he getting ready to do? Watch him work. I mean, do you not, they'd been talking one another saying, you remember not long ago when we got on the boat, went over the other side, there's a man there possessed with a legion of demons. We brought a change of clothes along. I don't know why we brought it when we went, but when we got there, Jesus cast him out, we called him, and he's in his right mind and sat at his feet. They might have said, you remember when we was walking through town, there's this ruler of the synagogue come, his name was Jairus, and he had a little girl that was almost dead and wanted the Lord to go with him. We didn't know if the Lord would go with him, but he went with him. And we was on the way, and then somebody come from his house and said, no need to go any farther, she's already dead, and we thought it's all over. But the Lord said, don't be afraid, just believe, it'll be okay. And we went to the house, hey Peter, James, and John, what happened? You tell us, you told us that day, tell us again, what happened? You went in the house, and the Lord took that little dead girl by the hand, and she sat up on the bed.
They'd
have had their focus right and been counting on the Lord. They'd have been saying, if he could do all that, reckon what he's going to do with these 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. In anticipation. Not just in anticipation, in expectation. But really what they're doing is what I do most of the time. They're saying, what's he going to do with them? Why does he want them? We done told him 200 penny worth of bread ain't enough. Does he think he's going to take 5 barley loaves? Is he just going to eat and send us away? I mean, what's he going to, they don't know. What's he going to do with them? Why would he want them? Why did anybody waste their time bringing this little boy? I mean, that's what they're thinking.
Yeah.
I believe that's what they're thinking. They're men, that's the way they described it. There's a lad here, but what is he, what he's got? It ain't nothing compared to this crowd.
Jesus says, bring it to me. Almost like he don't even hear what they say.
I'm glad sometimes that he don't hear what others say. I understand he hears all things and sees all things, but you know what? I'm glad he does not operate based on what everybody else says. Thank God. If we really understood that statement, we'd call time out and rejoice a while. That he don't operate based on everybody else's opinion. He don't operate on the Baptist's opinion. He don't operate on the preacher's opinion. He don't operate on my opinion. He don't operate. You better thank God he don't operate on our opinion. He's got it. He don't have an opinion. He knows the reality.
Like he didn't even hear them. Bring them to me. And they got to bring it and they thought, well, what's he going to do? And he said, make them sit down.
And they're taken aback because they know when he says, make them sit down, it's their custom. They know what he's getting ready to do. They don't know how he's going to do it, but they know what his plans are at this point. He's going to try in their mind now, I'm talking about from their mind, he's going to try to feed this crowd with these 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And we can be hard on Thomas all we want to, but probably all 12 of them are in the same boat. Thomas doubted one time, and we preach about him and throw him in the mud. And the reality is they were all in that shape. Thomas just might have been a little more vocal about it. Thomas actually said what he felt. How many times have we felt that way? We wouldn't dare speak up, but that's really how we feel. Lord, you're going to take this problem I'm going through. You're going to take this trial. You're going to take this trouble and make it work out to my good.
And I don't know what he said. As far as I know, and I could be missing something,
far as I know, it's not really recorded what he said. It just said he blessed it. He didn't ask God to bless it. He was God. He just blessed it. I don't know what he said to bless it, but he blessed it. And then he broke it. And you'll never convince me. You'll never convince me any otherwise that them disciples on the road to Emmaus, when the Bible said that he sat down at the table with them and he broke the bread. And immediately their eyes were opened. And they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. And their testimony was this: he was known to us in the breaking of the bread. I believe with everything that's in me. And I don't know, I'm not trying to be far out there, but I feel like it's getting confirmed in my heart. I feel like that their mind ran back to that day on the hillside when he took them 5 barley loaves. They never had heard anybody bless bread like that, and they never had saw anybody break bread like that, and it was a reminder to them of who he was and what he had done. Not only that, but what he was getting ready to do, he was proving to them again, giving them evidence. A call to Peter said, it's good as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. That's why their eyes were open. They remembered what God had done.
That's right. Yes, sir, brother.
And sometimes in our life, them old scales grow over and our bread gets cold and stale and crusty. And I'm glad for the breaking of the bread. We don't like to be broken, but in breaking He makes us fresh again. In breaking He stirs up our remembrance and takes us back to the day when we first got put in His hands.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, and we've been covering it, and I'm trying to hush tonight and I can't hush. We've been covering it in Sunday school about all the testimonies and the evidences that we belong to God. And I'm going to tell you one evidence of why I know I belong to Him is He's still breaking me. If He wasn't breaking me, He wouldn't care about me. But He don't want me crusty and stale and old and moldy, but He breaks on me and get rid of all that, make me fresh again and take me all the way back to the day that I first got put in His hand. Now I'm glad I can remember back to that day, but I'm going to tell you something. Now I want you to hear me well. And I'm not saying that arrogantly, but I'm your preacher and I love you. And it's a coming in my heart to help you tonight. I don't have to go all the way back to that day. But I thank God for that day. And it still stirs up and wells up in my soul. But I can go back to tonight. But when He took my bread and broke me again and showed me one more time, I still belong to Him. And tomorrow when I get up and I get on the road and I get down yonder, if it's the will of God, I'm trying to hush. I can't. And I get down yonder to Alabama. Now, I know Brother Mike, and I've been in service with him, but I've never been to his church. And there's just something about my personality, and the Lord knew that when He saved me and knew that when He called me. But I get off down yonder, and I'm going to be by myself as far as the world's concerned, but I won't be alone. There'll be somebody in the room. And when I feel like I can't do it, honey, when I feel like I get up and I get time to put on my clothes in the closet, and there have been times that my wife's been with me. I remember one time in particular, we pulled up outside the meeting house there in Arkansas. I'd never been that far from home. I looked over at her and I said, what am I doing here? I don't want to be here. I don't belong here. And she just patted me on the leg, said, you've come to preach. It'll be okay. But I'm glad, even though she can't go with me this time, when I get in, I can call her. Thank God for that. I got a good wife, and I need to say that tonight. I got a good wife that loves God and loves me and takes care of me, and I thank God for her. But when she can't pat my leg and she can't do it over the phone, I've got somebody bigger than she is that can pat my leg and say it's alright. You remember last night on Tuesday night when you went to that little white storefront building on the side of the road and I broke the bread again? It'll be alright.
Yeah.
It'll be alright.
Yeah.
I don't have to get in some time travel vehicle and go all the way back to a January night. in 2006 on this side. And I can tell you about it as real as it was yesterday on this side of the carpet, on the all-round purple carpet about this color in front of the organ, right in front of the plug. That was in the altar there. How the Lord God of glory moved in my heart and glory to save me. But I don't have to go back to 2006, all them years ago. I can come right now to April of the 9th of 2024 on the side of the road in Mars Hill, North Carolina, in the hands of the Master, of the same Master that got a hold of these loaves, had got a hold of my loaf, had him again breaking me again. And he don't break you, and he's not breaking me because he hates us or because he's trying to hurt us, but he's a breaking us because there's something in us and on us that don't need to be there. We just got a little stale, and he's a freshening us up again. And if he's a breaking you inside, you ought to thank God, because it's a testimony that you belong to him. If I was God, I'd have given up on me a long time ago. All the times in my life, I'm ashamed of all the times in my life I've got crusty and stale and cold and not fit. If I'd have had to feed anybody from myself in the shape I've been in at times in my life since I've been saved and since I've been a preacher, I'd be so ashamed. Nobody would want to spit it out, leave a bad taste in their mouth. But they've been times. Oh, they've been times. But they've been times. Oh, Brother Jacob, they've been times that I've come in the house of God so stale and crusty and thought, Lord, I can't feed these people, they'll spit it out. And all of a sudden behind the pulpit I stood and felt some big old hand reach down around where I was and take this old dry crusty stale bread and break me again and work in my heart. You may be here tonight and you may be them. Like them five little loaves, them two small fishes, and that little boy. I'm thinking you don't count too much. And they didn't count too much with the multitude. They didn't count too much with the men. But they counted a whole lot with the Master. If I could get you to understand, and I can't, it's going to take the Lord. If we could understand that He came to this point and brought this boy in His sovereign will to this point just to put His hands on His five barley loaves and two small fishes. It's as much a reality, Brother Tim, yeah, as He went to the well, Jacob's well, because there's going to be a woman coming. Oh, yeah. As much as He must needs go through Samaria, yeah, He must needs go to this mountaintop for this little boy to get his loaves and his fish, yeah, in the hands of the Lord. And that night He gloriously saved us because of His must needs. And I'm going to tell you something else. You may not believe me. I hope you do. But if you don't, we won't fall out with each other. I'll just let the Lord work on your heart. He brought you, knew every one of us that would be in this building tonight, brought us together, brought this feeble little preacher to stand behind this pulpit to tell us again, just to put us back in His hand, to break us again. All things work according to Scripture, according to the counsel of His own will. God's not trying to do anything. If He's ever tried to do anything, we might as well give up now.
That's right.
God's never tried to do anything. He's always done what He purposed to do.
Amen.
He never has tried. It's not a, someone sent me a video of an old black preacher preaching. I don't mean that. I mean just was, just preaching. He said it was not an attempt. Calvary was not an attempt. Jesus didn't attempt to save men. He made a permanent victory at Calvary. And God's never attempted to do anything. He's never tried to do anything. He didn't ask for these five barley loaves and two small fishes to see if He could try to feed the crowd. Matter of fact, you don't have to agree with me, but the Scripture said He asked Philip, what are we going to do? And He asked to prove Philip, for He Himself knew what He would do. I don't think just talking about knowing, even though He didn't know what Philip would say. I think it means Jesus knew on the trip up the mountain what He was going to do when He got up there. Matter of fact, before He ever was born in Bethlehem, Judea.
That's right.
Before he ever said good morning to Adam in the Garden of Eden, he knew that when he was 33 years old, that he would walk up a mountainside, and there'd be a little boy there with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, and he would take them and bake them and do a great miracle that we'd still be preaching about tonight.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And they no need to stumble at that. No need to stumble at that, and it's just as real. And before he ever said good morning to Adam in the Garden of Eden, he looked down on a brick church on the head of Indian Creek on a Tuesday night in January and saw a 16-year-old boy standing on the back pew of the choir, lost and on his way to hell, and knew that that would be the night that he would take hold of me and put me in his family. And he knew that on a Tuesday night, not a Wednesday, that I'd get a call to preach in Alabama. And that we'd need to move our... I know it's a help in my heart. I mean, that's the God we serve. And that he knew we'd have to push our service back to Tuesday night. And that he would meet with us in mighty power and let us know we're still in his hand.
Yes, yes. Oh, yes. Praise his holy name.
That's the God I serve. And that's the God you serve. And when we don't count to anybody else, we count with Him, and He's the only one that matters anyway. Thank God for God. I'm glad I belong to Him. I'm glad I'm in His hand. I don't look like much this world. Just like them little loaves and fishes and that little boy didn't look like much. But it looked like an awful lot when the Lord looked at him. He could see. Somebody wrote a song, I'm so glad he sees what we don't.
That's right.
He don't operate by our vision, thank God. He sees beyond. We're just looking through a glass darkly, and we do good to even see that at times. But he sees the whole picture. He is working it. He is seated on the throne of heaven. He's not on the edge of his seat either. Worried about... He's not worried about anything. Everything's working just like He wants it to work. Brought us to this place tonight because He wanted to bring us here. Blessed us with His Spirit because He wanted to. I didn't do anything to deserve what I felt tonight, neither of you. Not one thing. Ain't enough work. I understand. And it's right. I'm not fussing at anybody. I understand people want to say we couldn't do anything worthy enough to be saved. And that is 100% right. But do you know all the works I could do for all eternity would not be enough to feel what I felt in my soul just tonight?
Yes.
But He's not asking me to do anything to deserve it. He just does it because I'm in His hand. I wonder about them loaves, and I'm done. I really think I am. I wonder about them loaves the minute they touched His hands. They came back alive again. Oh, that's probably warm the night before. I just think about in our terminology. You know, Mama baked a pan of biscuits maybe, you know, the night before or maybe early that morning, but it's way on up. The Bible said it was starting to get evening. They've long been cold. And you know, cold biscuit, I mean, it gets a little tough. But He don't serve no cold stuff and no tough stuff. He said, bring it to me. He could have said, take it and break it and give it, but it wouldn't have had the same effect. He said, put it in my hands.
Yeah.
And watch my hands do what only my hands can do. I'm glad to be in His hand. I may not count for much in this world, and that's okay. Other people may look, and I'm going to tell you something, and I'm not degrading or disrespecting what we have. The Lord's been good to us, especially tonight. And people riding up and down the road, they don't count a thing about us. But I'm glad while they're going up and down the road not counting us to be anything. There's a God sitting on the throne in heaven has counted us in and reached deep down in big old hands and said, let me warm you up again. I'm glad to be in God's hands. I'm glad I know what it means to be in the hands of the Master. Father, I thank You, Lord, tonight. Lord, I don't even have words sufficient to tell You how grateful I am, Lord, to have been in the house of God tonight because You've been here. Not just some other service we've come, Lord. It's not anything I've done. You know that, and I know that, and I'll admit it publicly.
It's not anything I nor anybody else has done. But Lord, because you love us, even though everybody else may count us out, and in our own mind, Lord, in our own mind we may count ourselves out, but I'm glad your big old hands have reached down, picked up the bread again, and worked it in us, put us in remembrance. I thank you, Lord, tonight to be in your hands. I'm glad I'm just a little loaf and just a little fish. But Lord, it don't matter about me. It's where I am that makes all the difference. And I'm in the Master's hand. And I'm glad to be there tonight. Thank you for this place. Thank you for every individual that's come tonight. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit has spoke to them in a mighty way. I pray they felt a little of what I felt inside tonight. Lord, just to be reminded that we're in the Master's hand. I thank you for it. I love you tonight, Lord, and I realize the only reason that I can even say that is because you love me first. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.